purpose of poetry, as Pound said once, is always to make it new. However, new can be taken in various ways. First time, original, different. I like to think of new in the sense of discovery and change. Discovery and change, I think, are what the poet must always search for, the discovery of his deepest, most terrifying self, and the constant change, the continuous variety of rhythms and images, that is the whirling world in which the poet must live. The Poetry Center has always looked forward to its new poets programs as one of our most important activities. Today we have a particularly interesting group of poets, I think. Guy Davis will read first. Mr. Davis says that he began writing mainly as occasional lamentations over his failure to get started on a novel. In the spring, this was in the winter of 1960-61. In the spring of 1962, following the death of his father, his poetry began to take over as his main form of expression. He has adopted his father's name as his own. He will read today from his first collection, Janus, as yet unpublished. Second will be Shirley Kaufman. Mrs. Kaufman, the mother of three children, has been a student here at SF State, so she is not unknown, I'm sure, to many of you. Her poems will appear soon in the Atlantic Monthly and other magazines. The last poet to read today will be Daniel Moore, the winner of last year's Phelan Award in Poetry. Mr. Moore's first book of poems, Dawn Visions, will be published in Lawrence Ferlinghetti's City Lights Pocket Poet Series early next year. After his reading, Mr. Moore has a painted book of his, which many of you will be interested in looking at, I think, and it'll be on view after the reading in the back of the lounge. I'm very glad to welcome these poets to the Poetry Center Fall Series.
I've selected these from my first collection, which began about a year and a half ago in the spring of 62, and they're all in chronological order, if that's of any interest. My face still soft, amorphous, the character unrevealed. My face as it was in youth, maddening to me and to the beholder who seeks to find me in it. Long indeterminate, neither this nor that, and I see now it was my great hope. Once frozen, the character goes to refinement, but while still amorphous, it waxes to greatness, spreading and assimilating, including more of the earth, broadening its base. And still I delay, still I shrink from choosing the final form, still I cling to the long adolescence, waiting. Still I wait some glimpse of the final shape, wonder for what this base is destined. If the jealous years will slice me off, leaving my life some great truncation, like the foundations of a whole city begun on the last day. In second orbit, the long circuit begins again, this time in wider swing. In the lonely dawn, while none watch, we begin again. In secrecy we set forth on the old way. The old marks in the beginning look strangely sad, posts of farewell. We have come this way before, long ago. So long was the old journey, and we had but returned, yet now driven we push out, away, to exile again. Swinging, swinging in circles still wider, our only goal to come again to where we ever grow stranger. Our only goal, in deepest hiding, buried there for fear, the ghastly hope that somewhere we break wide and come no more, that somewhere in some outer arc the cord be snapped, and freed from earthly love, we sail and sail forever. Ghastly, aye, ghastly now, a fearful face has loneliness, lone sailing. Yet, traveler, I know your heart. You leave home but to save it. You go to find its place in the outer world. You go to see wherein it sits, and that is a long journey. You go to see that it sits well, that the universe is fair, and long, long hence you'll come again, where you grow ever stranger. The breakthrough. Some bleeding in the brain, some soothing flood, warm, running down, some wall shattered, some yawning breach, some breakthrough. And I lie happily without, too done to move. The wall like a tall hedge, and the breach torn through blossoms, and a whole field and freshest green, all blessings to the eye, are there beyond. But still I lie, exhausted, the battle won. What thing shattered? What ancient barrier long set up in the brain? I know the spot. I know the wall. I know the place of old assault. I could lay my hand on it. I know the ache. 1,000 battles, 1,000 stormings, 1,000 givings off, 1,000 fearful surrenders where trembling I drew back, dreading disaster, dreading the punishment of so much persistence. But now, between assaults, the place where long I battered melts away, the wall falls, and in the brain a soft, smooth bleeding, a soothing run of blood or melted ice, and the thrill of it in all my being, soft shudder of ecstasy. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, to rise and pass through, to climb the green fields that stretch forever, the rolling green hills in endless waves to blue, the world of virgin thought. The rest of these, I've used the first line as a title, so I won't bother to read the title. I'll just go into them. Fragmentation is the condition of things. The whole is broken, hopelessly crumbled, scattered now to infinity. God is broken into life. All parts are separate. Creation was the first catastrophe. Now all things drift alone. The movement still is out. We do not live unless our lives are half thwarted. What is death but the stilling of desire? Discontent is my weather. I embrace the sullen day. The dark cloud's oppression is my secret joy, the day's heaviness my strange hope and expectation. My longing is my fulfillment. My hunger and my thirst are the doorways and the roads of my escape. Even my fear is my caution and my guide and my greatest invitation. It is for this reason I court danger, love the nearness of catastrophe. It is for this reason I ache for hunger and thirst, long for enemies. It is for this reason I love storm and fret in the prison of perfect weather. For this reason I fly from heaven, insult my best friends, and kill the best loved. Even the torment of conscience is better than nothing. Strength yearns for resistance, and the sword thirsts for battle. And how will the young cub grow if he knows only weaklings? Thirst is my drink, and I starve for hunger. Fear is my victory, longing my great content. Failure is winning, and having is losing. Striving is reaching, and reaching is only death. Thwart me, Deny me, withstand me. God, flee from me. Lover, run from me and give me my life. Well, here's the title, Father to Son. I hang my affection upon you, my accidental heir. Yet who are you, and what of the thousands of sons never born to me? Had but one of the others been born, you would never have been. I think not only of you, my son, but of those others who may now never be. And so should you. Who are you? Have you calculated the chances against you? Calculate them back through the generations, and you will see by what strange miracle you stand here. Tell me, my boy, would you ever have seen the light if out of the star chaos of one night's love, that single wild sperm out of millions had not found its way to the ovum's heart in that month? And what of your mother and me? I know you are here, and you did not ask to come. But I think continually of all those others and the way we have come, and if our lives were meant to hang by so slim a chance, will we ever win again against such odds? What more could we ask, having once been born? What else now means anything after such fortune? Prometheus. I guess I better go on, it's getting a little. Someone filched fire from the gods. Tale of theft and glorious larceny. Great sin, deed of sacrilege, awful affront, drawing down sternest vengeance. The bandit chained to the rock, the foul bird set at his liver, the poacher shamed and degraded, abused to death, but the deed done. One thing still lying in heaven, one immense unholy prize. Who is the felon? Who is the devil amongst you, the man of perverse spirit, the mocker, the god tempter, the evil man? Who is the next buccaneer? For all things are torn from the gods. The best things are done in the spirit of sin. That is our hazard, the firewall through which we must reach our arm. Who is the man of infinite cunning? The bad one, so bad our loins must disown him. Who is the changeling that all will deny and watch punished for having dragged from their perch free will and consciousness? This is getting into the spring, which in California is in February. Call this one Guests. By the way, these three were all written in a week or so of rain in the earliest part of spring. The birds here early, as always, waiting glumly in the rain for the tardy season. Eyelashes dripping water, glum but too foolish to protest. They wait for the party to start. The darkening of the day, the sudden shade, the gray threat over new green, the untimely night. Whispered sinister hint of things not right in the universe, of the old order breaking. Wild hope that change is possible, that the old pattern is not immutable and laid down for all the future. That now we may see wonders never dreamed of, prodigies, and glories never promised, terrors never predicted, that the sun is not beyond rebuke, infallible, and forever dependable, that we may yet be lost, that danger is real, and there is truly hope. Beloved rain, mildest and sweetest of disasters, gentlest of calamities. Beloved rain of happiest melancholy, of most soothing and wished for chastisement, of longed for punishment that blesses. Rain that redeems me softly and in secret. Rain that punishes me with no rancor. Rain that banishes me lovingly, that imprisons me without hate, and keeps me where I would stay. That heals as it bruises and anoints with its flail. rain that enchants with its monotony and fills with promises my suspension in the purgatory of sweet postponement. And in the same rain atmosphere, a burning. And now the spatter of the rain mingles slowly with the fire's crackle. Somebody burns this wet spring day. The gentle rain and the slow, sad, thoughtful burning. Not a rage, not a hurry to be done, but just a good day to do some burning, to see what will go. Some things not hated, put to the fire. Not crudely rushed, but let to drift slowly, as if it will, and if so they would have it, from the visible world. Any subject would do, any matter to discourse upon, whatever would move him to speak. The quality of the light upon him did not matter. His reflection would always be something. The past was ever dusty, like the present. August was stale. Fences rotted in dry pastures. Summer mornings were born exhausted. The dust was stilled with a pitiful dampness. Old papers cluttered old barns. The world was weary. Young girls smiled in men's memories, stood by doors already old, 50 years before. Porches sagged, grass was untended, the farm was played out, even in memory. The past was stale, even beyond remembering. Greece and Rome provide no mourning, the armies clogged the roads, the camps were dusty. The new colonies tasted August in the first year. Two short poems on a page are called water poems. One, strike the water, beat upon it as the cruel child strikes the softly protesting mother. Two, shatter the water, the vitreous, delightful stuff. Spill its splinters over me. My thirst rises like love. Something I learned late. And early in the novitiate, early confronted and assimilated, the knowledge that your wisdom is not unique, indeed that the only wisdom is ecumenic, common as the texture of nails, the growth of hair in the usual places. An old man's perplexity, very short. My heart breaks for sight of the boys coming back with no fish. Yet I have survived such nights, have come home 1,000 times so, with cheer enough. It never occurred to me till now, and everyone knew it. The secret was used against me. Draw your enemy to high, narrow ground. There is a place where danger makes equal. Run out onto the bridge where your chances are 50-50. Always I stood like an ass on the broad road. Thank you.